Today we're going to be talking about the R word, relationships. Stand by. We're going to have some fun today on Coach's Corner. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, Empowerment for Entrepreneurs. This is episode number 46, Creating Real Relationships. Today's episode is sponsored by The Marketing Network, themarketingnetwork.tv, profitable marketing training for business owners who want to get results fast. Visit us online at www.themarketingnetwork.tv. Use offer code COACH at checkout to save 25% on your membership. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Robert Imbriali. Happy to be with you once again. And not only am I here happy to be with you and you know, spend this time with you, but the topic today is one that's really close to my heart. I got to tell you something. This is one of the big ones that came up very early on in my internet marketing career, was recognizing what was making me successful wasn't my skill set. Believe it or not, it wasn't that. It was kind of interesting because I thought, I know so much about marketing. I know so much about the internet. I know so much about technology. But what was really making clients come back and call me again and again was the fact that I was building relationships with them. You think, well, what really, could it be that easy? Yeah, it can be that easy in many respects. And our guest today is Felicia Slattery. And I got to tell you something. She is amazing. We got an opportunity to speak on the phone about a week or so ago. And we got into this conversation about relationships and we couldn't get off the phone. Literally, it was that kind of relationship. Felicia Slattery, if you don't know, is a number one best-selling author of 4 books, internationally acclaimed award-winning championship speaker. And like me, has happy clients and customers in, get this, folks, 22 countries around the world. Is that not amazing? So I'm really happy to have Felicia with us today and here with us today. And we're going to be talking relationships. I got to tell you, this is going to be a lively conversation because, like I said, it's a topic I am very, very passionate with about. Felicia, welcome to the show.
Robert, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you because, like I said, this is a topic that is, I think, elusive a lot of times for business owners because it's not one that's talked about. If you go to seminars, they're going to teach you about, let me talk about Facebook ads, let me show you how to write copy, let me show, but they never talk about the stuff that's behind all of that that makes it work. And what really influenced me or really excited me about having an opportunity to spend time with you was that we get to talk about relationships today.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's funny, in all my years of going to and speaking at internet marketing conferences, it seems like people are really interested in the hard skills. You know, what button do I push to make the thing work and make the money come out of my computer while I'm asleep?
How true.
Okay. But the soft skills are really the skills that are, in some respects, more important because you can't get to the button pushing thing. You can't get affiliates if you don't know how to have relationships. You don't get joint venture partners if you don't know how to have relationships. You can't get good help or find assistance if you don't know how to have relationships and how to respect somebody and how to have a conversation with somebody and let them know, you know, what do you need and how do you need it. I mean, really the soft skills come before those hard skills. And so I'm excited that we're talking about it today.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that very early on in my internet marketing world career, I was back, I'm going to say 1994, I had set up an email system for the company I was working with, and we had 50 employees. A lot of them got along really well. They were really good friends, and everything was working really well, and all of a sudden, you put this technology between them. And they started to communicate, not face-to-face anymore, but now they were communicating over email. Right, we had intercompany email. We had "quote unquote" internet email, but it was email that would check every 20 minutes. You know what I mean? It wasn't as instant as it was today. Yeah. We had modems actually dialing up a phone line and sending the email. So internet email was there, but it really wasn't. It was CC mail was the name of the program we were using back then. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me how many people had conflict that didn't have any conflict before, and it was because we put this technology in between them.
Yeah.
So I always say to people, we're the most connected society that we've ever been in history, yet we're very disconnected.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And, you know, communication is fraught with lots of opportunities for misunderstanding. When you're face to face with somebody in the same room and you have a similar understanding of what each other is talking about. Then you throw on layers of possible noise, we'll call it, as we call it in the world of communication, and you throw in the email, and you throw in somebody who just, you know, somebody who's an accountant and they keep their computer on all caps all the time so that they can, you know, they can do their accounting stuff. But then they email like that. And it's like, you know, most everybody else says, why are you yelling at me? Or, you know, somebody says something like, you and I are talking and I say something and I've got a little bit of a, you know, snide tone in my voice and it's clear that I'm being sarcastic. Well, sarcasm doesn't come across via email or via social media. And yeah, nowadays we have, you know, the emoticons that we can add and different kinds of smiley faces and winky faces and all kinds of, you know, crazy pictures and things we can add. But it still isn't quite the same as being in the same room. So understanding how to use the technology, because technology is not a bad thing. Obviously, if it wasn't for technology, you and I wouldn't have jobs, right?
How true. So,
like, yay for technology. And it's a fantastic tool. But we have to understand that the tool is only as good as the person using it and the understanding of the person using it to build relationships.
That is so true. And you were talking about, you know, people typing with all caps. That's exactly what happened in this company. It was like, that's what the root cause of the discord was between them, is mm-hmm. the people in accounting, the bookkeepers and stuff. Caps lock is on permanently. It's like, might as well be glued, you know, it doesn't need to ever come off. Yeah. So all their emails were these screaming emails all the time. And there was no emotion. Mm-hmm. And we know human emotion is really an important aspect. And when you take it down to, you know, today we're talking email, but we're actually talking text messaging as well. When you take it down to just the words, you have 7% of the communication is there in the words. You know, you take away the inflection, the voice inflection, the tonality, the richness of the voice, the, you know, like the snide remark, I could say your name five different ways and have five different meanings, but it's the same word, right?
Exactly.
That's 38% of the communication. 55%, the biggest part, is the part that's missing in all of this, is the body language. Mm-hmm. We read the 200 muscles in the face. We read, you know, expression. We read, you know, we pick that up without even thinking about it. And it all makes it part of the communication model. So now you have a situation where, what are we doing today? We're texting our customers. We're texting our significant others. Boy, bad news, right?
Yeah.
We really need to figure that one out.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just, you know, that 93% and the 7%, those statistics actually have to do with people dealing with and talking about relational issues. I've read that study. But the truth remains that the nonverbal aspect of any message is just as powerful, and in many respects more powerful than the verbal part of the message. So they both carry a profound amount of weight. And if you don't get them both right, you know, or in the absence of one or the other, it's difficult to have that full sense of communication and a message being the message that you intend to send being received exactly the way you want to receive it. So it does take some thinking to make it work.
It does, absolutely. And Tony Robbins, the one, this is an NLP thing that comes from him. And mm-hmm. what he was talking about, he talks about being in integrity, means the body language, the tone, the inflection, and the words you're saying are all in alignment. They mm-hmm. you're giving the same message. You know, you know, if you look at somebody with a scowling face and say, I love you, it's like the message is incongruent, right? You're sending two different messages at the same time. So we know that in networking, in live networking. I know, I don't know how you've been feeling about this, but I just don't see a lot of people out there face-to-face networking quite as much anymore. We think we have LinkedIn. We think we have Facebook. And it's supposed to be a replacement for that. I don't know. I've got 2,500 people following me on LinkedIn. I probably know 10 of them.
Yeah, it's interesting. What a lot of folks who have embraced technology for their marketing purposes are missing out on, I believe, are those rich relationships. And believe it or not, every single day of the week in your town, there are networking meetings, everybody's town. And so you can go to those meetings. And I have long said, you know, if everybody in your town or the surrounding areas suddenly wanted to hire you at whatever your highest level is that you offer for your services tomorrow, could you handle all that work? You probably couldn't. So there are people right there in your own backyard that you could serve with your products, with your services, and they're just waiting and they're right there, and you can meet them face to face and have that and start a relationship like that. So what I always do is I'm a speaker. I train people to do speaking. And so I have trained people over the years to go and speak at an event, whether it's a local event that you're speaking for free or a marketing event where you're getting on a plane and you're traveling and you're selling for something from the stage. But you take those people that you meet at that event and you move them into your online system. So you're starting with that relationship. You know, the speech is the beginning of the relationship.
It's the reverse of what we do now. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, so many people are... Whether they're meeting, you know, they're speaking at an event. I've seen so many speakers do this where the speech is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the relationship. They don't think to even carry on relationship with people in an audience after that. Or the other side where, you know, people use the internet to connect and then they never take it offline. They never have a phone conversation. They never, you know, forget about meeting face to face. Like they just don't. And it's too bad because there are a lot of opportunities to do that, whether they're, like I said, local networking events or, you know, industry or niche kind of conferences where you can go and you can meet people who get you, who understand you.
And we have tools today that help with that. I mean, why would you not use Skype, or why would you not use Zoom, or, and, you know, even Facebook. Facebook now has, I don't know, a lot of people know this, but we're in Facebook Messenger. You can click on and do a video conference call. You know, call somebody with video and see them face to face. The video is not the greatest, but, you know, it's that face to face again that we're missing.
Yep. You know, what's funny is just be careful if you're going to use the Facebook Messenger thing. I've used that and meant to add a video that I had made. Like sometimes I'll send a birthday video to a friend via private message or something. And one time I made the mistake of pushing the camera and it called them on the camera. And I was like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, but it was a close enough friend that I was like, hello, I'm about to upload a video, but anyway, yeah, how you doing? People aren't ready for you to call them on Facebook. It's like,
well, yeah, it shocks them the first time. It's a funny ring and everything, and everyone goes, where is this coming from? I don't know where this is coming from. But, you know, we'll get back to the concept here. The tools are there, and we don't have to be so disconnected. Talk to me a little bit more about face-to-face networking, because that's one that is escaping a lot of the business owners today, and it's an opportunity missed, I think.
Yeah, you know, so face-to-face business, I actually, one of the books I wrote is called Kill the Elevator Speech, Stop Selling, Start Connecting, and it's all about that connection.
That's on Amazon, that book, right?
It is on Amazon, yeah.
Okay. Kill the Elevator Speech.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And the idea is, you know, we hear in business that there are certain things you have to have, right? Right. You need to have a website, and you need to have a business card, and you need to have an elevator speech, and like you need all these things before you can actually start doing your business. And that's all, it's such a lie. What you need is a solution to somebody's problem. That's what you need. And when you have a solution to somebody's problem and you have a way to solve that problem and a way to make it happen, whatever that way is, whether it's by buying a product or paying you to consult with them or coach them through the situation or whatever it is, right? That's all you need. And so when you go to a networking meeting, one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they get in their head, well, I have to have this elevator speech thing, and I heard so-and-so guru say I need this, so I'm going to put this thing together, and I'm going to memorize it. And it's such a mistake because that's not a true connection, right? When you put together any kind of a memorized thing, that's not you connecting with another person, right? If I was going to memorize something, it might be when I'm going to stand up and speak to a room full of people. That's the situation for a speech. But you and I, Robert, getting on the phone together, does it make sense for me to memorize something before we chat? No, it doesn't. And so why would you do that in person when, in fact, people are only going to remember 17.2% of what you say anyway? That was according to a journal study in the area of communication. So if people are only going to remember 17.2% when they're listening specifically for information, does it make sense to bombard them with lots and lots of words?
Of course not.
And about you, they're going to remember 2 to 4 words and that's it. So now you get to make a decision. Are you going to be the one that says what those 2 to 4 words are, or are you going to say lots and lots and lots and lots of words and let them try to figure it out what you are, right? So I just say, listen, tell the people what the 2 to 4 words are and don't get crazy. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to do, I don't know if you remember, you and I are the same era. Do you remember growing up in the 80s and moms who were stay-at-home moms, they came up with this term called domestic engineers. Do you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Right. And so business owners, we do the same thing. We're like, I got to be really creative with what I am. Like, you don't. And in fact, when you try to be creative and try to come up with this name that nobody's ever heard of before, what happens is you neurologically confuse the person.
Yep.
Confusion. Yeah. They don't have the synapses for what that thing is. When I say, somebody were to say, I'm a graphic designer. Oh, well, we know what that is, right? At the beginning of our conversation, you and I talked about the accountants at a company. So somebody says, oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, I know what it, like, I'm not an accountant, so I don't know all of the work that an accountant does. But I have a frame of reference in my mind for what that is. So people are going to have a frame of reference when you say, I do business consulting. Oh, okay, I have an idea. They know you're not doing accounting and they know you're not doing graphic design, right? So use words that they've got a frame of reference for so that then they can make a connection for you. And then here's the secret sauce. You want to get to them instead of on a head level, you want to hit them in a heart level, that emotion. People buy based on emotion. People remember you based on emotion.
Yes.
And so here's the question you're going to ask. Don't ask somebody, what do you do? Because when you ask that question, the people who have memorized their elevator speech, you're going to get verbally vomited on. You'd be like,
I love that.
We don't want to have it. So, right? So you sidestep the verbal vomit question. And instead of what do? You ask, how did you get started? And so like, if I were to ask you right now, Robert, how did you get started doing all of this coaching and this kind of work that you do and getting this together? And all of a sudden, what happens is you remember a time in your life when you started something that you were excited about,
yes.
Theoretically, right? That you were happy about.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, yeah, you know what? This I do. And then you remember, now you're telling me a story. This one short little tiny relational question opens up the door to a connection that's totally different than what do? Here's my thing that I memorized. What do? Here's the thing I memorized. Because you just said, I'm interested in hearing about you. I want to know your story. I want to know something about you. And that person in that moment, when they're remembering that happy moment when they started doing whatever their work is, they endorphins are being released in their body because they're remembering that happy time and they're associating that emotion with you. And when they associate that emotion with you, they remember you in a different way than they're going to remember anybody else. So you've got those 2 to 4 words that are easy that they've gone, oh yeah, I know where to put you in my brain. And now you've flooded their body with this positive emotion. They're going to remember you in a different way than they remember anybody else in that room. And that's all you have to do. 2 to 4 words and ask, how did they get started? And now you've started an actual real connection with another human being.
You started a real relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've always been a big proponent of that. You were speaking directly to someone who's been living that. It's absolutely true. It's like you want them to be talking about themselves, not about asking you and listening to you, because they're not going to hear it anyway.
Right.
That's the truth of it. They're focused on what they're focused on. They're at a network meeting or wherever. They want solutions. They want answers. They want to move their needle forward, and they don't really care about yours.
Right. And interestingly, when you ask people and they're talking about themselves, they like you better. This is proven over and over again. Interpersonal communication 101. When you're having a conversation with somebody, the more they talk, the more they like you.
That's good. I'm going to have you talk for the rest of the way then.
Well, it's your show. Maybe you should talk more.
But it is absolutely true. I mean, that's exactly, my experience of it, because I've been involved in this for so long, is exactly right. I mean, the more you get them to talk about their dreams and their business and their goals and what their, you get them eventually around to what their challenges are, and that's where I can step in and say, okay, that's your challenge. I've got a solution for you. Maybe we should work together. You know, it always wraps to that without it being a sales presentation.
Yeah. And and not every conversation needs to end up there. I mean, maybe it isn't. Maybe the person isn't your ideal, your ideal target. Because one of the other mistakes that a lot of, especially internet entrepreneurs, I've noticed a lot of us are focused on ROI. So if I go to this meeting, I got to get 3 clients out of this meeting for my ROI right. to be there.
Right.
And the truth is, you don't know who that person knows. You don't know who that person's connected to, or who that person's married to, or, you know, what access that person has that can open up doors for you. So while they're talking, you may be thinking, this isn't really somebody that I would be able to work with, or I would be able to serve.
While they're talking, you're actually screening them.
Yeah.
You're analyzing and saying whether they're a fit. Oh no, look, I'm putting them in that box, and those people typically don't have money or don't have the passion or don't have the desire to do what I'm trying to sell here.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that the person that they worked with last week, their coach from last week, who they're like best friends with and been best friends with since forever, right? That person may have the perfect podcast for you to be on, or they may be the most connected person in town, and they can connect you with everybody and get you on stage in front of everybody in town. Wow. Or they may be, you know, they may, their kid may be the new editor at the local newspaper, and they're looking for somebody just like you to do a big spread on. I mean, like, we just don't know who people know. And so just when you're hearing somebody, our tendency is to go, oh, this person isn't one of my people, and then, you know, write them off and move on. But I would encourage you just to, you know, maintain the smile, maintain the happy, you know, connection with the person. And maybe you never speak to them again, but maybe they turn out to be somebody who, other than being a client, can be a connector for you. And that's really powerful too.
Well, they always say, you know, 6 degrees of separation. I think that's really true. It's like you meet people who you would look at and you say, okay, this person doesn't know anyone. Oh, but they know the editor at the New York Times or something. It's just the weirdest
right.
thing. Happens to be my neighbor or my cousin's cousin's best friend or, you know, whatever. It's like, you're so right about that. And we can be very quick to dismiss people. And I think that's a huge mistake. You know, one of the things I learned from Tony Robbins is you can learn something from everybody. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the janitor, it doesn't matter if it's the CEO of the company, you can learn something from everyone if you'll take the time to listen.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
And there's a lot of opportunity in that, and thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So in today's business world, meeting new people, networking, obviously face-to-face, attending seminars, that kind of thing, a lot of local networking groups, that kind of thing is always very helpful. What else would you suggest for business owners who are looking to expand their networks, meet new people, make new connections, and obviously get more clients as well down the road?
Well, you know, as somebody who teaches speakers speaking, I firmly believe that if you're going to go to a networking meeting, try to be the person at the front of the room. When you're the person at the front of the room, you get to meet people who aren't even in the room, because the organization, they send out an email to everybody about you. If they've got a printed piece, they'll say, you know, in next month, you know, join us for the meeting next month, XYZ person's going to be here, and they'll talk about you. So all of a sudden now your name is being put in front of not just the people who are in the room, which is powerful in and of itself, but you also get that expanded reach, and you get what I call the borrowed credibility of that organization. So sure, the people in the room and the people who are hearing about you from that organization, maybe they've never heard of you, but just the fact that that organization said that invited you to come and present, that elevates your level of credibility so much more so than just simply being somebody who walked into the room and is shaking hands with people. So being the speaker is fantastic. I love it.
I absolutely, absolutely agree with you. I love it so much because you become the center of attention. All the spotlight's on you. That's not for everybody. That's for people like you and I who can deal with that kind of thing. A lot of people, business owners especially, I always use the term, they like to hide behind their email. You
they
know,
do.
Literally, they don't like they to come do. Out in front and meet people, and especially the internet marketing community. It's really not any different than when I first got started in marketing back in the 80s. We were all into direct mail back then.
Yeah.
And it was the classified ads, send your check or money order to P.O. Box, whatever. You never got to meet the person. You never even knew their name. You knew nothing about them, but you were buying from them. They were doing business. And for that was very appealing to a lot of personality types that didn't really want to be out in the public eye. It's really not that different with the internet. I mean, it's more pervasive now. I think a lot of people really believe that they can hide behind their email. But the truth is, I think with social media, it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's a misconception that speaking isn't for everybody. If somebody wants to be a speaker, they can. It's a skill like anything else. None of us were born knowing how to drive a car, right? We learned how to drive a car.
Right.
Some of us are really great at it, and some of us are less great. But we're all able, you know, those of us who've learned how to drive a car and have a license, we can drive a car. The same as with speaking. So if somebody says, you know what, I've not tried that, but might be interesting. I would be interested to give that a try. That's something that somebody could learn how to do, right? So I have information on that, actually, if somebody's interested, at signaturespeechsecrets.com. And there's some free info there. So signaturespeechsecrets.com if you're interested in that. But, you know, the truth is that, yeah, we do like to hide behind our computers. But for a lot of us, especially people who are, if it's a big giant brand, and even big giant brands are starting to do this, it's really about our story. It's about who we are. It's about what we're about. And you've noticed that some of the biggest brands across, around the world, in fact, they will have a personality who we associate with, right? So you think back to Wendy's, and Dave Thomas was the guy from Wendy's, right? Mm-hmm. And, and in the 80s, they had the old lady, where's the beef? I mean, they did a bunch of commercials with the old lady, right? And, you know, and the Old Spice guy, you know, getting out of the shower, that hot guy, woo, he was fun. Right? But so the even big brands, they have somebody. And the Men's Warehouse guy, since their board fired him as their person, can you think of one Men's Warehouse ad?
No, not at all. Yep.
Because they took their personality out of it, which is the biggest mistake they made. If they had asked me that, I would have told them. But but the truth is, like, it's really bringing your personality to your business is one of the things that makes you different and stand out. That is part of your USP, your unique selling proposition, is you and your story and your personality and who you are and what you're about. So being able to tell that, whether you're telling it verbally or you're telling it written from behind, you know, an email that you're sending to somebody or on social media, however it is that you share that. And with email, gosh, I mean, I don't know one email program that you can't add pictures now to. I mean, with HTML emails going out, you can add a picture of you and your family or friends or hobby or dog or whatever you want to add, or something silly that you saw online, or, you know, a meme or whatever. Like, infusing your personality into your marketing is what makes you be memorable, is what gets you in front of folks. And it also, remember I talked earlier about when you meet somebody face-to-face and you shake their hand and you ask that, what do you do question, and they remember something happy. Well, when you make somebody laugh, those endorphins then flood their body again, and they're going to associate that happy feeling with you. That may get your email opened even more.
Yeah, no question. You talked earlier about anybody could be a public speaker, and this is one that we actually proved in a seminar. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, people like me, I took public speaking in high school. Boy, what a mistake that was, right? And, you know, you always get asked in school to stand up in front of the class and deliver a presentation. And that's where the fear of public speaking comes in, because we're in front of the class talking about something we know very little about, topic we're not passionate about, and God forbid anybody asks you a question, you're lost, right? So it was terrifying. Even for me, it was terrifying. And even as far along as college, I still couldn't speak in front of a room. Two people in the room, that was it. More than that, I couldn't do it. And it was because of that. And I know a lot of people in my audience, I was asking them, how many people love public speaking? Oh, no, I'd rather be dead than public speak. You know, that whole meme.
Yeah.
So I asked one of the people who said they were really afraid. I handed them the microphone and I said, here, I want you to tell me about the last vacation you took. And I couldn't stop them. Blah, 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 blah. And then we went here, we went there. The meal was so great. And you should have seen the ocean. And it was like, literally had to pull the microphone away. Stop. Mm-hmm. And I said, you just did public speaking. Was there any fear? No. Didn't even notice there were other people in the room. So public speaking becomes easier when you're talking about something you're passionate about. That's what I found to be the real secret to it, more than anything. And for me, that's what it was. I mean, I stepped out the very first time public speaking in front of a group of about 30 people, never having done a presentation before, decided it was going to be 3 hours, but I was talking about marketing, something I was passionate about.
Yeah.
It was easy.
Yeah.
It became easy for me.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you're bringing up a lot of fabulous tools, especially the part about bringing your personality to your business. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this, I don't bring enough of me sometimes to my posting on social media. And so people don't really get to know who I am as a person. They know me as the marketer, but who's Rob the person? And I know that hurts the business not doing that. So I'm going to ask you, as the coach right now on this, how would you bring your personality into your marketing, into your social media presence, into that world where all your clients are?
Well, I love this question. Back when Twitter was shiny and new, And a lot of us were using Twitter to actually connect instead of just broadcast. We used to talk about, have about five topics that you discuss. One of them could be your dog. Like mine, right now. Yes. Go on now. She's very excited. She knows when I get excited. Okay, stop. All right. So one of them could be your pet, but that's true. But only one of them should be your business. So that means you need four other things that you tweet about or talk about on social media or share in your email. And here's when you email people, it's a little bit different than social media. But even in email with social media, or I'm sorry, even with email with personal stories, you can still do this because you want people with your emails, typically you want them to take some kind of action. Typically that action is either hit reply or click a link, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you can start with a story and just think about what are the four other things other than the work, what are the four other things that you love in your life? So for me, my family is one of them. For me, another one is cooking. I love cooking and gardening and food. And I'm like, I'm all about that. I love that. Another one would be, you know, I love kind of funny things and that kind of thing. So I'll share funny kind of humor types, like things like that. And then I'm very active in my faith and I volunteer at my church and I sing in the choir. That's brand new actually, by the way. But you
well,
know,
congratulations. I that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, you know, I bring in different aspects. So people, when people meet me and they've never met me in person before, but they've been following my work, whether they get my emails or they're following me on social media, I always get the same thing. Wow, you're exactly the same in person as you are online. And that's, I always think like, well, how else would I be? Like, okay. But the fact that so many people get tied up in, well, I don't know what I should share about myself or what I should, you know, nobody really wants to know that or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the truth is that the human experience is universal. So there are something, one of the reasons why I share about food and my love for food is that's one thing that every human being has to do in order to survive. We all have to eat. Right. And you bring something up about food or diet on Facebook and then wait and see what comments come in. I mean, you want engagement and people will engage around that. You know, my daughters now are 13. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, talk about parenting, ask a parenting question. People come out of the woodwork. I mean, so it's very easy to engage when you're talking about things that are common. And then what I tell people, especially in an email situation, so tell your story of something that happened and then relate it to whatever it is that you're promoting. Make a transition and a link, not a physical click-on link, but a right. mental link mm-hmm. between your personal story and what it is that you
right.
want.
Right. How does the story relate to the action I want you to take?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is brilliant. I actually took notes on it because I think it's one of the things a lot of people get asked. And the other thing that you mentioned that is really key is that when they see you, what I call offstage, you're yeah. the same person as you are on stage. It's critical. Yes. That's called integrity.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know a lot of people fail in this business mm-hmm. when they try to be something they're not because you can't keep up that game for too long. At some
Impossible.
Point, you know, people are going to find you out. It's one of the things, one of the reasons that I followed Tony Robbins for so long and became a trainer with the organization was because when I got to spend time with Tony backstage, he was the same person he was as he was on stage. Mm-hmm. And other speakers, I could say, not at all. I actually had one speaker that I was at his seminar, I was actually producing the seminar for him, and I got to know him off stage. And then all of a sudden, I saw this different persona on stage. And I went up to him and I said, I don't know who that was on stage. I didn't recognize that person because I got to know you as this warm and cuddly, loving kind of person. And I saw that. And he got pissed off at me. He said, well, I took all these acting classes.
Well,
and I just stopped at that point. And I just like, you took all these acting classes. So you went up on stage to be something you're really not. And you're thinking you're in integrity. You're not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not.
Yeah, you know, it's tricky. I actually, that's the speaking that I started speaking in front of audiences of hundreds, thousands when I was 7 years old. And I was reading at church. And then after that, I acted in all kinds of different things. And the speaking that I did, the competitive speaking part, some of the events were I was myself, but other events, I was acting. So I was trained in that. And I see people who come through that. And in fact, one of the, I can always spot somebody who's come through Toastmasters, because Toastmasters is a fantastic organization. And for people who are nervous, I recommend go there, because they will shake the nervous out of you, because you get up and you do it and you do it and you do it and you do it and you do it. The problem is when you do it too many times and you follow the rules, too many of the rules, you can look stilted and you can look like you're, I am now speaking. Really? Like, people don't really want that. Like, yes, you can make sure that you're not using verbal disfluencies. Of course you want to avoid those. Of course you want to move with purpose on the stage. But when you speak to people, they would much prefer you have a conversation with them than speak at them. And so I have to shake my Toastmaster clients when they come to me. Anybody who's competed in speaking, I've got to like, okay, that was great. Now can you just talk to us? That would be fantastic.
Can you just show us who you really are, not who you were trained to be, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
I see that when we do video production as well. We have people that'll come in, especially chiropractors and artists and such that come into the studio here, and we do video production with them. And all of a sudden the camera goes on and they think they have to be something they're not. And the moment they do that, it's an immediate fail. And it's like, okay, cut. We need to stop right here. You know, can't do this. You can't play this game. They start speaking a different language.
Yeah.
They speak as if they're writing literature. And it's just like, no. The way you write is not the same way as you speak. And it's very different. Mm-hmm. And we want you to be conversational. We want you to be, just be yourself. And you'll be funny. And you'll be whatever. And if you're not, it's okay. You know, it's just, people really want that authenticity. And I really understand the Toastmaster situation. I've run into a lot of people who've been through that as well. My exposure to speaking was only Tony Robbins. So I don't have any other experience than watching him. And sure. I was blown away back in, was it 95, I think, the first time I saw him, that he was on stage for 12, 14 hours, no script.
Yeah.
And I said, how could you do that? I didn't even understand that was even possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've done seminars 3 days with no script. And it was like, yeah, you can do it. It's like, certainly, it's coming from the heart. It's coming from within. It's who you really are. You're not trying to be something you're not. You don't need to memorize anything. Just be who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want to organize your thoughts. You want to make the material and the content make sense for your audience. And Tony does that, right?
Yes.
Those of us who've done this for a while, like, now we're going to talk about this topic. Okay, great. And then you talk about that topic and you share the information and you share the steps and maybe you'll share a story or two so that they can anchor the information. But yeah, I mean, I always want to say it's not that hard, but my husband is a personal trainer and he has his own business. And, I'll just say, just turn on the video camera and talk, and he'll go, just pick up the weight and lift it. I'm like, oh, okay. So his point is, okay, so yes, unless somebody, you know, has a trainer, you have a coach there to say, maybe just like you, you know, well, they're going to turn on the video camera. I believe I should be talking like this. No, don't do that. Right. They need you, your clients who come to your studio and work with you on that. So, but with a little bit of practice, and not a lot really, but a little bit of practice, anybody can get good at this stuff.
Yeah, and it really is a powerful tool, especially today. I'm thinking back now, the internet, 1984.
Okay. That was before the World Wide Web.
The first time I got online was 1984, and it was on a Commodore 64, the 300 baud modem. And it was a service called QLink that eventually became America Online,
okay.
Steve Case's first game. And one of the promises of the online world back then was that we would have the ability to totally replace television with this internet. And your computer would end up, and I actually did a presentation in college back in 1981 about this, that this screen would become central to our lives. We'd have everything at our fingertips. I thought it was going to be the television. It turned out to be the computer, but the screen is the screen, and everything kind of revolves around that. So now you say, well, I don't know if I want to be doing video. I don't know if I want to be in front of a camera. I think it becomes more and more vital as a business owner to be doing this. I'm seeing so much success with some business owners now who are starting to do regular Facebook Lives. Last year, 2 years ago, it was Periscope or whatever. And they're starting to do it, and they're starting to really change the connection between themselves and their customers. I remember in 2004 was the very first time I did a live webcast video webcasts with my customers when I was doing teleseminars before. I was over the telephone, and every Monday we'd be on the phone for an hour and I'd give them some training. And we had a decent relationship, you know, it was good. And then I tried this system out. It was Macromedia Breeze back then. It was the very first really video webcasting system that they came up with. And I did that once with them, and the relationships immediately changed. They got to see me. They got to feel me. They were much closer. They were much more connected. Mm-hmm. I held a seminar not too long after doing maybe a couple of months of the video stuff. I walked into the hotel lobby and they all knew who I was.
Yep. Yeah, it's
just different.
It's the great connector.
You know,
because when you do video right, you're looking into the lens of the camera, you. But on the other end, the person is seeing you look directly at them.
Correct.
In their eyes.
Yep.
And when you do that, that's the next best thing to actually being in the same space. And the cool thing about video is it's working for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could have recorded a video 2 or 3 years ago. That same video can have that same impact on a different person who's never seen it before, right? But, you know, if it's evergreen kind of material in that video. And so there's a big difference. If like right now my webcam is here, but my screen's over here. So if I'm looking over here and I'm just looking at you talking, it's weird, right? Like, cause I'm not talking to you.
It's disconnected.
But
yeah.
When I suddenly look at that lens, it makes a huge difference. It almost feels like we have eye contact with each
right.
other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually one of the best and most powerful tips that somebody could take away today. If you decide you want to use video, and you should be using video, just look directly at the lens of that camera. Don't worry about looking at yourself. You know, even if you're using your phone, on my phone, the camera's over here, and I sometimes want to look here. Even that little shift from there to here to there to here.
It's a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. So don't follow the temptation to look at yourself and make sure that your hair is okay and just look into that lens, look into that camera, wherever it is, and know that you're connecting with somebody on the other end. And that's in and of itself a very powerful message.
And what I tell people to do when they're going to use their phone or where they're going to do video or something, it's like, just record the video locally. You don't have to go live stream right away. And if you mess up, delete it. Start again. It's not the end of the world. The very first time I did a seminar here in San Diego for the Learning Annex, I remember it was a new seminar. I just created something new and I wanted to teach, back then it was how to double your business in 30 days or less by improving the results you're getting to your advertising. So I went into Vogue magazine, I pulled out a bunch of ads, and I said, we're gonna go through these ads. I'm going to show you why they work and what the emotions are behind them. Yep. And it was, it was sort of a complex seminar. There was some stories in between. I rehearsed that seminar in my apartment for, 3 or 4 times the entire seminar, 3 hours, right?
Wow.
And then when it came time to do it, it was effortless because it was like, I knew what I was going to do. I knew where it was going to go. I knew where I would get hung up and fix the things that I would get hung up on. And there was no script. It didn't need to be. I knew kind of the outline of it. And it really made a big difference. So the same thing in video. If you want to practice, I always say, record yourself locally. It's hard to look at your own videos at first.
Yeah.
You get over that. It doesn't last very long.
You do. Yeah. And record all of your practice sessions also, because sometimes when you think it doesn't matter is when you're more relaxed and it's easier. So just turn the camera on and record the whole thing. And every time you make a mistake, some people turn off the camera and make another video. Some people just let the thing run. And when they get a good one, they lop
it
off all the way.
Yeah.
Just chop it. It's so easy in editing.
Yeah.
Or the other side is, and this may seem a little bit scary and a little bit counterintuitive, but I tell people, just use your phone and go live. And if you hate it when you're done, just turn it off. But now you forced yourself to do it, and it's out there.
Exactly.
And for some people, that extra added pressure of being live and knowing that somebody might be here watching me right now, that in and of itself allows them to, again, for some people, allows them to actually think more clearly and say what they want to say, as opposed to, I'm just practicing and nobody's going to see this thing anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, somebody might be watching me. Okay. They kind of get on their game a little bit better. So, but whatever works for you, like, give it a try and see what happens. But if you find yourself resisting recording locally just on your phone and not, and never uploading it, then just like jump off, dive in head first, hit the live button and say your piece and see what happens.
It changes everything to go live. I got to tell you, we had some artists here who are not camera friendly. They just don't want to be in front of the camera. They're introverted for the most part, kinesthetic. They like to, you know, be alone and do their stuff. And they are okay teaching in front of a group of maybe 10 people. Mm-hmm. And what we decided was, okay, we'll bring them in the studio and they'll just do the same thing. It does not work at all. They can't. They're not fluid. They don't flow. So we said, okay, we're going to try this. We're going to go live. And it was a big risk because you don't know if they freeze up. You've got, you know, a couple hundred people watching, you know, who paid for it, who want to show up. And they never do. And when they make a mistake, they self-correct and they just keep going. They keep going. Mm-hmm. They keep going. Some of these things went as long as 4 hours live.
Wow.
4 hours for people who've never done stuff in front of anybody before, you know. Yeah. And it was great. It was much better content than when we had them in the studio just filming them with cameras and nobody watching. It was they felt the energy of the audience because we had a chat room. Mm-hmm. Right, so the feedback loop is there, which it needs to be. It was there for me in 2004 the first time I did it, and I said that is brilliant because it's no longer broadcasting. Now it really is a conversation where I'm putting something out there, and if people have questions, they pump the questions up and you see the questions, you can answer them. By the way, if you have questions for either one of us, just post it in the comments and Facebook below here, and after the fact I don't have access to looking at it right now because I'm focus on this, but after the fact, we will definitely jump in and answer whatever questions you have. Felicia, I don't want to take up the rest of your day. I know you and I could probably go on forever here. This has just been awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fantastic being here.
Okay, now I want you to tell us where to find you, because I know there are people who are going to watch this and go, okay, I need her help. I need to be coached. I need to be able to step up and be better at networking and better at my communication skills. And because that's a big piece. And I knew that, you know, in my coaching career, that was the number one thing for me. I knew I needed to be able to speak in front of people if I was going to grow my business. And boy, it's paid off in unbelievable ways. So well, awesome. Tell us about how we can reach you.
Okay. Well, the easiest and fastest way, since you're probably watching this on Facebook anyway, is just find me on Facebook. It's Felicia Slattery. And I'll comment in there so you can click on that and say hi, and we can connect that way. But you can check out my website at FeliciaSlattery.com. It's brand shiny new.
And it's beautiful.
Thank you.
There's I was on it the other day. We were preparing for this. I was like, well, let me learn more about Felicia. And it's like, I went on the website and wow, this thing is really well put together. I love it.
You.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And there's still, you know, people will be like, wait a minute, I can't, there's the thing, like it's like 98%, you know what I mean? So, but go there. You can learn a little bit more about me. There's some contact forms and stuff. But you could pick up, if you want to know more about speaking, signaturespeechsecrets.com. And that's just a free, there's a free audio there and some other free goodies. If you're interested in Kill the Elevator Speech, that was the book that we talked about earlier, and you can grab that at Amazon. There's also some free goodies, I believe, at killtheelevatorspeech.com, so you can check those out as well. And just connect and say hi. And if there's any way that you think I might be able to serve you, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that.
And you have a book upcoming.
I do.
That you're working on. I don't know if you're ready to talk about it yet, but it really piqued my curiosity big time, because obviously, you know, relationship is a big deal. You really going to talk about it? Can you talk about it? Or
sure.
You don't have to.
Well, yeah, I'm actually happy to. It's okay. It's called Real Relationship Challenge, and Real is an acronym, REAL, for what you do and how you feel when you're in a real relationship. So what you do, and we'll put it in the context, since we talked about social media. So we respect, we engage, we affirm, and we laugh. So that's what you do. And then, you know, sometimes people be like, I don't know, what is this person, I don't know if I should be friends with this person or not be friends with this person. Ask yourself how you feel. Do you feel recognized? Do you feel energized? Do you feel accepted? And do you feel loved? And I don't mean necessarily loved like, you know, you love your husband or your wife, or your boyfriend or girlfriend or something like that. But in the way of like, gosh, you know, I really love when that person comes on my thread, because they always say something, empowering, or they always say something funny, or they're always just so nice and supportive or whatever. Like that is a way of, you know, feeling love. Like people say, oh, I love my work, or I love my job, or I love that book. That's the kind of love we're talking about. And so if you feel that way, that's your signal that you're in this real relationship. And if you're not, then what can you do? Are you doing the first REAL? Are you respecting and engaging and affirming and laughing with somebody else? And if not, then there are things that you can do to fix that. So anyway, that's what the book's going to be about. And I'm very excited. I finally actually decided to self-publish this one. I've worked with publishers for my other
goody,
books.
Goody. I love that. Yeah. I love that. When should we expect it?
Well, now that I've decided to self-publish way sooner than before.
Okay. I love that too.
I'm going to say probably, I would guess probably by the end of April, early part of May at the very latest. So, and I'm one of those, you know, under promise, over deliver people. So maybe it'll be before that, but we'll
awesome.
See.
Awesome. And you'll be in touch with us when that book comes up, and maybe we'll do this again because this was just so much fun.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. You can hang with me. I'm just going to thank our sponsor and then wrap it up, or you can get off. I know you have a busy day ahead of you, so it's your choice. Okay, I want to take just a couple of moments here to thank our sponsor. Our sponsor today is the Marketing Network, themarketingnetwork.tv. Marketing training for business owners who want to get results and learn from some of the best minds out there in the business world. This is video training. This is not a book you have to sit down and read. This is video you can watch on any device. We've got some of the great leaders of our time, Mitch Axelrod. We were talking about getting on and doing live streaming. Vika Roska came in and did a nice mini course with me on how to get started with live streaming video. And she was one that had, you know, a lot of the things we talked about today, a lot of fear about doing it. And like Felicia offered, she said, I'm just going to go push the button and go. And she did. She pushed a button and went, and all of a sudden it changed her career. So that is one of the industry experts we have in the marketingnetwork.tv. Like I said, this is video, so you can watch it on any device. It goes on your iPad, your iPhone. It'll go on your Xbox. It'll go on your Android phone, your computer desktop. Or if you want to watch it on your television like I do, it'll play on your Apple TV as well, which is really a lot of fun. So go over to themarketingnetwork.tv. Use offer code COACH at checkout, and you will save 25% on your subscription. Okay, with that, I want to say thank you to you for watching. A little bit longer today than we normally go, but I think it was worthwhile. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well. I would love your comments, your feedback, and if you think about it, give us a like on Facebook. We'd love to have those likes, and or YouTube, or wherever you're getting this from. We have the podcast now available pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts from iTunes. We can get both video and audio versions of the podcast. If you like Google Play, if you like Stitcher Radio, if you like TuneIn Radio, we're available at all those different places. So be happy to hear from you. If you want to send me an email, go ahead and do that. Robert@ultimatewealth.com. That's my email address. Be happy to respond to you and give you some feedback and some, maybe some help along the way, what you're trying to accomplish and how you're trying to build your business. And if you really like this, you might as well share it with your friends because they would appreciate it too. All right. With that, I say thank you very much, and we will see you next week.